everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Lone Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. And this week, sponsoring the show is Winchester Cider Works. I'm kind of drinking their hard cider called Mouse. It's apparently gluten-free. It's hard. They're out of Winchester, Virginia. Kind of tastes like sour apple. I like sour apple. I'll be tasting it. I'm not a fan of hard cider, but I'll give them a shot this episode. We are not sponsored by them again, but if they ever listen to this, I wouldn't mind trying having a sponsorship by them. But right now, we will kind of be needing a hard drink, so to speak, because we'll be diving into a little bit of mental health. Yes, drinking alcoholic goods. Talking about mental health is not a good idea, but it's the topic that we'll be covering first is kind of related to the mental health aspect of things, because I'm sure some of you out there have heard about BetterHelp. And if you haven't heard about BetterHelp, consider yourself one of the lucky few. But for those of you who've been watching YouTube a lot, or watch a lot of the popular YouTubers out there, like Philip DeFranco, Boogie2988, Shane Dawson, plus a whole crap ton of others, you might have heard about this website. And what they promote is a way for people to get connected to a counselor or a therapist of sorts, in a way that can't either A, afford it, or B, can't get to their practice, meaning that they might be in a town that doesn't have a therapist, or they're, for whatever reason, they can't go outside too often, for whatever reason, and they can't get to a sit-down therapist. But some of the price points that they have brings it down to about $35 a week. But what we're here, now, for those of you who do might listen to this and do listen, and it worked for you, they help you out. This is not so much for you, but it's going just sharing some of the bad experiences that and some of the somewhat untrustworthy things that they might have said to people and that they have on their terms of service, because for a lot of people that dived into it, it brings up a lot of red flags. Now, that being said, what they promote, again, is a way for you to get a counselor or a therapist to talk to if you need it. Now, they have had a disclaimer, and they're kind of upfront for in regards to the fact that if you're a person that needs medication for a mental issue, whether it's something like schizophrenia or depression, or if you're having suicidal thoughts, they're not the service for you. But if you're like just need somebody to talk to and have a quick one-on-one, then yeah, they might be for you. And their price, again, their pricing plan goes as low as $35 a week. Now, I've seen screenshots of their pricing plan, and that pricing plan kind of states the base, like, it's mostly like a lot of other tiered services that say, hey, we have a service that's $10 a month, but that's if you buy 12 months in altogether. And the screenshot I saw in regards to their payment options is baseline. If you're not bulking, if you want to go for just a week or two while you're on vacation, it's $80. If I'm remembering correctly, if you choose their 3-month option, it's like $65 a week, and you have to pay whatever the total cost of that is for that 3 months. I think they have a 6-month option, which is maybe $40 a week, and they have a one-year option, which is $35 a week. And the aspect is the amount you have to pay up front is like close to $2,000 in order to get that kind of discount. And like I said, they're kind of promoting it as like, hey, if you can't afford a counselor, which could range between maybe $100 to $250 and up, look how much money you're saving, type of ordeal. And what that seems to be, and all it sounds well and good. Now, what's been coming out is that people have tried their 7-day trial, realized that the site is not good for them, or what have you, or they didn't like it, or they just didn't feel right for whatever reason, and they ended it on, let's say, day 3 or day 4, only to come out 4 days later, 3 days later, or a month later, that they were charged $200 for a free trial. And they ended it well before the trial was over. They still were charged $200. And that's wrong. That's why they say, like, well, I was scammed. I received a free trial. I was supposed to pay nothing, and I got my card, my bank account, what have you, got dinged for $200 with no warning, no bill, no nothing. And there have been other people that signed up, didn't get a free trial, that they signed up for whatever the base plan was, again, like the $8 or the $60 plan, and they couldn't get in touch with anybody. They scheduled an appointment to speak with a counselor. That day and time came and went, and the counselor never showed. And they emailed, they got in touch with the counselor and said, you know, hey, what's up? You were supposed to speak with me last night at 5 p.m. You never showed. Or you were supposed to speak to me yesterday at 3 p.m. You never showed. What the heck? And they said, they'd get a response saying, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Let's reschedule for next week at 2 p.m. The following week comes and goes. That appointment comes and goes, and that therapist doesn't show up again. There have been people who have said they went through several different counselors on this site. Some were better than others. Some never showed, and there were various different complaints that actually came up. And some people who looked into it priorhand said a lot of the stuff that this site has shown smells more fishier than a fisherman's dock during the hauls coming in, or smells more fishier than a fish market. And some of the stuff that has, to kind of give you an idea, or just a bare bones layman's in regards to what the terms of service pretty much says, is it says, and this is layman, I'm not a lawyer, I don't play one on TV or the movies. So, let me just say this. What it basically boils down is that, sorry about that, I couldn't read my own handwriting. But what their terms of service boils down to, in some cases, is one, that the counselors that they bring on are contractors. Two, they're pretty much putting you in touch with the counselor. And three, if something bad happens between you and the counselor, not their fault, they're not liable. And three, if anything good happens between you and the counselor, again, they can't take credit. But the thing is, what sounds a lot fishy with some people is that, on one hand, they're telling everybody that comes to the site, all our counselors are vetted, that we look into every aspect of these counselors, make sure they're licensed right, they got the proper credentials. We do as thorough of a background check as the next guy and as any other company. Yet when you look into their terms of service, they pretty much say, you got to do that. You got to make sure that they have the proper licensing and they're right for you. So a lot of people saying, isn't that kind of false advertising that you're telling everybody that you all, you know, vet all these counselors to make sure they are who they are, who they say they are, that they got the proper licensing, the proper insurance, that they're not going to try to, I know I'm just going out on left field in this, that they're not going to try to scam you out of anything, that these counselors are not going to try to trick you into doing something wrong, or they don't have a criminal background, or so forth and so on before they're brought on, yet they turning around and telling you in some cases in their terms of service that, hey, you got to do this, not us. So, part of the, in one case of their terms of service is saying that they make no guarantees on the availability, willingness of a counselor, which kind of means like, hey, if you have a, these are our counselors, yeah, we're helping you set up an appointment with these counselors, but we're making no guarantee that they'll show up for that appointment. Yet you could really need that counselor, that person to talk to at that point, and you know what? They're pretty much saying, tough titty, says the kitty. You know, come on. And there's another one that pretty much says that they make no representation or warranty that you find a counselor service relevant, useful, correct, satisfactory, or suitable to your needs. Well, yet you have to do a questionnaire for them to match you with the proper counselor. So, what, you know, that's the left hand's not doing what the right hand, or I should say the left hand, what the left hand doesn't know, what the right hand's doing, they don't care. So, it's like, why bother having this questionnaire when you can't guarantee stuff? And there's also saying, part of their terms of service saying, we do not control the quality of the counselor service and do not determine whether any counselor is qualified to provide any specific service, as well as whether a counselor is categorized correctly or matched correctly to you. Doesn't that sound like we don't really vet? That's all up to you. But like I said, I have some of the terms of service up here too. It says here, let's see, you agree to confirm and acknowledge that although the counselor may provide counselor services through the platform, we cannot assess whether the use of the counselor services, or the platform is right and suitable for your needs. The platform does not include provision of medical care or mental health services or other professional services by us. As operators of the platform, our role is strictly limited to facilitating the communication between you and the counselor, and to enable the provision of the counselor services. It's up to you to consider and decide whether these services are appropriate for you or not. Yeah, they're taking away from the liability, but they're trying to match you, and they're trying to, like I said, it's a way for them to get out. But the aspect of things is, it kind of sounds kind of fishy. Yeah, if you have a detrimental or totally severe case of whatever mental condition, you should be actually seeing a certified, licensed psychologist, someone that's able to write your prescription and to fully help you out. Yes, there are many, many, many psychologists out there that do a great job and help a lot of people, and I cannot fault them for that. I cannot do anything. I can knock them for that. But I've heard many of cases where, or in regards to kind of secondhand, in regards to people who went to a psychotherapist or a therapist, in regards to certain aspects, and that therapist kind of seemed to do more harm to that person than anybody else could have. Meaning that they could have went to a best friend and got better advice and more enlightenment with that person than this licensed, you know, counselor. What I'm trying to say is that there are probably some counselors out there that would try to convince their, or have convinced their clients that they have schizophrenia, or they have a multiple personality disorder, or depression, or what have you, for just because. Now, I'm not saying all therapists do this, but I'm sure there's a few bad apples in the mix. And from what I've been hearing, there are a few bad apples in this mix. And from what I've heard, this is all alleged. And I've been hearing reports, I have yet to hear that tale, but I've been hearing some cases that have been brought to me that there's at least one therapist listed on this site that has been accused of sexual assault. Not to the client on the site, but in real life. And I know there's some of you who think I know who this is, and no, I don't. Honestly, I don't. But I checked. But the thing is, they're telling you that, yeah, we don't record stuff, but we're going to record stuff for quality insurance. A lot of it's, their terms of service comes out to say, like, yes, we vet people, but only when we feel like it, but it's mostly your choice to do it. The ball's in your court. And that's shady. And a lot of the stuff is coming off shady. At least when it comes to this particular website that does this. I'm sure there are other similar sites to BetterHelp that do a better job and have a better vetting process. But they have told many people X, Y, and Z, and when they asked, okay, that's X, Y, and Z, but I'm reading off of you A, B, and C, what about that? Oh, don't worry about that, it's X, Y, and Z. Or when they've been approached by, hey, what about how about L, M, N, and O? And they kind of completely ignore that and go back to X, Y, and Z. So there's a lot of double talk, and there's a lot of nuances and details to what's going on. excuse me. In regards to that, I'm not going to dwell on this too much. I know I spent close to 20 minutes on this, but there has been one report that has come out that one of the people behind that is this whole scam, or one of the companies behind this website is Philip DeFranco, but I cannot guarantee it. It's alleged. It's a rumor. I can't put any stock in that, so please do not go after Philip DeFranco in regards to this. It's what has been put out there. It's an accusation. But and it's one person just saying that, not everybody saying it. But if anything, I do recommend, if you want to hear the full story in regards to it, just do a YouTube search of BetterHelp BetterHelp and scam. And a lot of the YouTube videos that are doing a better job of explaining this drama and the details of what is being dragged to the surface and to the light is there. I know Drama Alert has done a few things. Joy Sparkle's done a few things. And plus many, many others are doing a lot of these videos in regards to uncovering the dirt behind BetterHelp. So I do recommend doing a YouTube search in regards to BetterHelp scam, and they'll give you, I'm sure they'll cover it a little bit too, and give you the better links to people who are doing it better than they are as well. So from there, I want to continue in regards to more of the geeky stuff that has been happening. And while I'll do that, I am going to pause real quick and bring up the first article. So let me do just that. And we're back. And what I want to talk about next is that what was announced some time ago, maybe a couple of weeks, It was the announcement from Sony about the PlayStation Classic. Now, let me just say this. Sony is releasing this, kind of similar to what Nintendo has been doing and kind of will be doing in the future. Meaning that what Nintendo has done so far is that they've put out the NES Classic or the NES Mini, the Super NES Classic or the Super NES Mini, as they're kind of commonly called, which means unlike the Atari Flashback Series, the ColecoVision Flashback Series, heck, even what was nicknamed the Sega Classic or the Sega Classic Mini by At Games, those were not really considered. They were kind of similar, or they've been out for years, but they were not on the same quality as what Nintendo has put out for the past 2-3 years. Meaning the quality that Nintendo brought with the NES and the SNES Mini has been a high quality system, high quality emulation system. Whereas the Sega Classic system was produced by a secondary party known as At Games. And from a lot of people have said, the system, the Sega system put out by At Games was not all that. The sound quality was not there. Heck, the Atari flashbacks were a little bit better. But that's the thing. What Sony's doing is on the same or similar level to what Nintendo is doing. They're putting out a smaller, reduced quality. The emulation and the quality control is going to be there. Now, what they said, it's going to be 20 games. It says here, this is according to their site, with iconic PlayStation Classic featuring 20 of the best games from the original PlayStation console, including Final Fantasy VII, Tekken 3, R4 Ridge Racer Type 4, Jumping Flash. Now, here's the thing. I do want to play. I liked Tekken 3. I liked Final Fantasy VII. Now, I've gone on record several times, I think on this show as well, that when I played Final Fantasy VII on the original PlayStation, that my copy, for whatever reason, about two discs, this is a four disc set. After disc 2, I was unable to play the game. That as soon as I put in disc 3, I'd get to a certain point, and the console kept telling me that my save game was corrupted, and kind of tell me, so sorry, Chari, you can't play the game no more. I've tried many different times to correct the issue, or different ways. I play playing it with a game, without a Game Shark, doing exploits and everything else for the game. And so sorry, game save corrupted. Please start again. Now, back in the days of consoles like the PS4, not the PS4, the PS2, PS1, the NES, and the Super Nintendo, games were not like today, whereas, oh, there's this glitch midway through the game, or players are experiencing their game saves being corrupted, or they're playing a game and all of a sudden they come back to it a week later, the game save is corrupted. So therefore, either the game's not saving it right, or they find the problem that the game's not saving it right at this point, and they make a patch and they release it to everybody, and you get that patch nowadays, and you can play the games past that point. But back in these days, you could get a game version that once you save it, it's not a correct save. The game will not save it correctly, and you'd get an infamous, at least at that point, you'd get an aspect of, sorry, your game is corrupted, please start again. I had several games that were like that on the PS1. Not just the PS1, the PS2 as well. Now, a lot of people are saying, what would they like to see? Now, this isn't the dual stick. Some people have said there are two different types of PlayStations that are out. One is the PlayStation PS1 or the regular PlayStation that we all known and love and grew up with. And the other one is saying the PlayStation, an actual PlayStation 1. Now, they were kind of still released. When the PS2 came out, they were still kind of releasing the PlayStation for a little while. Kind of like the early days of the Xbox One that you could still pick up brand new Xbox 360s. And those were considered PlayStation 1s. Now, what I got when I picked up, before the PlayStation 2 came out, was the original PlayStation. Dual sticks were not out yet, rumble packs were not out yet, or rumble controllers were not out yet. So will we see anything that would require a dual stick or a rumble joystick? I doubt it, but... So we won't see those types of games that take advantage of that technology right away. But I would like to see Parasite Eve, you could turn it on and off for the most part. And if they do not, they do include dual stick games in it, they could probably create a joystick with a rumble pack and a dual stick control available later on down the line. That I would like to see as an add-on. But here's also the fun thing. It's now, let me just say this. The PlayStation Classic is going to be released December 3rd this year for $100. A lot of people are saying that's expensive. And I want to say not really. I think the majority of why it's expensive is the aspect of memory. I know a lot of you could say that memory, getting a flash drive, is relatively cheap. You could, late August, early September, you could get a 4-gig flash drive, like a 4 to 16 gig flash drive for $5 at Walmart. But you got to figure, Final Fantasy VII was a four disc CD game. And CDs at that time, I think, held anywhere between about 650 to 700, if you really crammed in the data, 800 gigs, 800 megs a disk. And let's say you want to go with the higher end of, let's say, 700. You're talking about close to 2 gigs total for just Final Fantasy. And some of these games, they're not small games. They're pretty big. So, having 20 games that might range in maybe 700 megs to a couple of gigs, therefore, yeah, you're paying mostly for memory. And you're probably playing for a decent quality type of port. So, what additional games would I like to see on this? Probably... the first Twisted Metal game, if not Twisted Metal 2, probably I would like to see another Final Fantasy game on this, probably Final Fantasy 9, I think that was the one after, again, it kind of mimics Final Fantasy 7, it's a little less kind of, it's still story-driven. I think 8 was the weaker one. And it took 8 was the one that they were kind of a school. And they had the gun blades and all that. And 9 was the better one. Fans liked 9 and they liked 7. So, I'm hoping Final Fantasy 9. I'm hoping for probably a few more games on it. They'll probably have a Tomb Raider game on there if they could score the rights. They'll probably have a Banjo-Kazooie game on there, plus a couple others that I would like to see on it that were classics. Some people, maybe a Final Fantasy Tactics. There are a lot of people that have their favorite versions or favorite games they want to see on this. I had close to 20 different games. Maybe a Resident Evil game on this. It wouldn't surprise me. Let's see. But what came out after this was... Nintendo saying that N64 should be coming out roughly the same time. There's development plans and patents, and so it's going to there'll be a console war between Nintendo 64, a Nintendo 64 Mini, and a PlayStation Classic Mini. Well, here's the thing. Right now, it's October. So far, nothing has come out in regards to the N64 Classic or the N64 Mini. The only thing that was announced was a PlayStation Classic or a PlayStation Mini. When that happens, we'll probably, by the time October hits, late October, early November hits, we'll get more games announced for the PlayStation Classic. And if Nintendo decides, hey, we have the N64 Mini ready and made and ready to ship for the Christmas season, here it is. Here's what's coming out for it. But that hasn't happened. But because, as you know, we're kind of have show ADD in regards to this, let me go a little bit back to the PlayStation Classic a little bit. What it's coming with is two controllers, the system, of course, HDMI connector, and here's the downfall, or here's the big problem that a lot of people are seeing. They're acknowledging that this is going to be built well, it's going to have high quality attached to it, and there's going to be a quality assurance attached to it, but it's coming with a kind of an a USB-C connector to it for power. It's got the cord, but no power adapter. You have to buy the power adapter separately. It's not going to be a PlayStation power adapter. You have to buy an off-party adapter, which can cost anywhere from $5 to $10. So you're paying another $10 for something that should be already included. And it's something that if Nintendo comes out with an N64 and they have TV ads, they could easily say, hey, here's the N64. We got all these great classic games. We got Mario Kart. We have Zelda. And we have a power adapter that comes with ours. Unlike what Sony gives you. So, it could be a dick move. But for now, at least, that's what Sony's saying officially on their website. That doesn't come with an AC adapter. It comes with the power cord, but no AC adapter. It's kind of like what Apple tends to do with some cases. Hey, well, here's a power cord to charge your phone. But if you want the actual power plug-in, you have to pay us another $19.95. You know. That's what kind of what Sony's doing. Oh, here's your PlayStation Classic. We're going to give you something to power it up, but not actually the plug. You have to pay for that separately. But that's going to probably hold a lot of people back. A lot of people. But we'll probably pick one up ourselves and do an unboxing. We're going to let it drop there. Come on, move. Facebook is, as always, being a bitch. What we're trying to do, when we try to scroll up, it goes back to a different... Here's the thing, folks. A lot of you out there use Facebook. We use Facebook to promote show, give mini commentary on certain links, and so forth and so on. And what does it do after so many minutes of looking at an article and sharing that information with all of you? Oh, we're going to reset you back to your own personal homepage and go to the beginning of that. Because that's what we feel you want to do. And yet, all you want to do is go scroll up to the next article you want to talk to everybody about. Which kind of sucks for us because we're recording this with all of you. And it's not what we wanted to talk about when the next article we wanted to talk about was right above it. And that being that Fox is delaying a few of the movies. Few movies that are coming out. They're kind of delaying the release of Alita, Battle Angel, Dark Phoenix, and Gambit. And from what I've heard, Gambit's going to be a rom-com. For those of you out there, it means romantic comedy. Why? I don't know. Other than I want to say it's Fox and some of their properties. They just run straight into the ground for whatever dang reason. I'm going to say it's because Fox. But the main reason is that the PG is... It says Fox has announced, the article says the Fox has announced a handful of release date changes, which includes X-Men Dark Phoenix, Gambit, and Alita Battle Angel being pushed back by a PG-13 version of Deadpool 2. It says instead of releasing December 21st, Alita Battle Angel has been pushed back to February 14th, 2019. In its place, Fox will release PG-13 Deadpool 2, which will go up against Warner Brothers Aquaman, Paramount's Bumblebee, Sony's Holmes and Watson, and Universal's Welcome to Maureen. Visionary filmmakers Jim Cameron's Avatar and Rodriguez's Sin City create a groundbreaking new... It's telling about Alita. It says X-Men Dark Phoenix is now scheduled to premiere June 7th, 2019 instead of January 14th. Illumination Universal presents pictures The Secret Life of Pets 2 and Lionsgate's Flarsky comedy feature will also debut on that date. It goes on to tell us about Dark Phoenix and says Channing Tatum's Gambit movie was originally scheduled to release on June 7th, but has now been pushed back to March 13th, 2020. The project is in development and no director has been attached. The screenplay is being written by Reed Carolyn and Joshua Zimmer. Here's my thing. If Gambit is still being in development, according to this article, and is being written, and hasn't been filmed, it's October. This is completely, it hasn't been filmed yet, hasn't been edited yet, reshoots haven't been done, the screenplay has been written, apparently, but it hasn't been filmed yet, but it's being pushed back to 2020. It would have been originally released on June 7th. I guess that's why, one, it's being pushed back to March 13th, 2020, because it hasn't been filmed yet, and they would have to start filming, like, now, or get into pre-production now, in regards to it. But I guess if you read between the lines, Alita Battle Angel was supposed to be released, I think, by this time already, because I was expecting to see promotional stuff at Otakon about it, and I didn't see that there. I didn't see anything Battle Angel related at Otakon, which surprised the living hell out of me. But and that was August, and mid-September, I was hearing stuff about Battle Angel, and it was mostly because of the diehard fans. I'm not talking about the Battle Angel fans, because Battle Angel Alita fans, or Alita Battle Angel fans, are really old school. It's kind of hard to get into that, because it's hard to find the mangas for either Battle Angel series. It's hard to find the DVD of Battle Angel, or the VHS, for that matter. So, the fans will griping, anime fans will gripe about anything. Anything! Oh, you listen to dubs, you filthy casual. Or it's... You can have the best version of any type of thing, and the fans will complain about it. I'm sure... trust me, they will. But I will say this. For stuff like Full Metal Alchemist, it's hard to cram a full season, or two seasons, or three seasons of any anime down to an hour and a half to 2 hours. It's completely tough. It's hard to do. I can understand why them pushing back at least Battle Angel and Dark Phoenix to later, early next year and mid next year, is not because they don't have confidence in this. I'm sure they do. And both films will make in a good bunch of money. It's just that when you're up against, they probably don't see it making a whole, those movies making a whole hell of a lot of money. At least Battle Angel making that much money when it comes in regards to Aquaman, Bumblebee, and some of the other stuff that's coming out in December. So they're probably figuring, you know what, let's put this in February, re-release a PG-13 cut of Deadpool. That way, if that kind of fizzles out and flops, we don't have to worry about it. So that's my take on that. And what else did I have to cover? And that is, oh yeah, Facebook decided to be a complete dick again. So, don't want to cover that. Hellboy artwork. And yes, Toys R Us. I kind of want to cover the Toys R Us. I don't know too much about it. The article is kind of confusing in reference to Toys R Us bankruptcy auction canceled. I guess they're trying to bring it back. There were rumors of kind of remarketing it. I guess those rumors were kind of true because somebody, let me just say this, when Toys R Us was going up for bankruptcy and they were kind of liquidating everything, there were rumors of somebody coming in and stepping up and taking control and saying, hey, let's remarket this, let's redo this, here's some capital, let's do what we seek to do to, or see what, let's see what we can do to save the brand. And apparently during proceedings, right before auction, this is what happened. But the article is really confusing, so we're going to kind of skip over that. Let's see, where is it? I just saw an article recently. I want to come up. Here it is. In regards to Walmart getting in on the $12 billion collectibles, muscles in on the $12 million collectible market. And now here's the thing: I've heard many cases for and against this. Like I said, not half bad for that hard cider. The aspect of the arguments for Walmart breaking into this collector's market in regards to selling Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon cards and having exclusive comics and kind of like a whole, its own little exclusive Funko Pops and so forth and so on. The main reason is that not every place has a its own gaming store or its own comic shop. So the aspect of having a little bit of a comic section and a Funko Pop section and a card section kind of appeals to everybody. But the sad thing is, it's, you can't really, like with Magic the Gathering or Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon, you really can't buy a deck of cards and play those in the store like you can with Magic, with those card games. You can't really read the comics in the store, or you just have to buy the packs in kind of bulk. They're like a 5-set for $5 or $10, and you have, that's it. You can't breeze through them. You can't really hang out. You can't buy individuals' cards, but that's the main downfall. But it kind of gives you that outlet to buy them, but it doesn't really give it an outlet the way, or the same type of environment, or that you would get, or the same feeling, or the same atmosphere is what I think I'm trying to get across. The same type of atmosphere that you'd get at a comic shop or your atypical gaming store. Now, as comparison, our latest shop. Now, there have been many tales that me and Big Candy have told you about some of the shops in our area that have kind of done some unsavory price gouging, and yet one shop has gotten better over the years. There have been times where things have come into light that they either ripped people off or their services have not been totally up and up. I know one of the shops in our area, with the whole new Batman has come out with a total uncensored scene showing Batman's Bat member, to put it politely. They had two copies left, according to the place up near me. They said we have before we're getting a re-release the we're getting the issue back in a censored version where Batman's Bat member is censored out or blurred out, but we do have two of the original copies left, which we were selling for $60 a piece. Yeah, they're not the first shop to do stuff like this, but the article pretty much says it's like how. Well, it brings more people back, but they're saying that Loot Crate might be sold to them, or they're doing a Loot Crate type thing at Walmart. We'll see how it comes out, but who knows? Me personally, I don't think it is anything of that matter. And see, pushing back. Kind of before we go into the next article, I want to say I did finally get a chance, thanks to my buddy Lloyd, to see both Upgrade and Escape Plan 2. Now, I don't remember what the reviews were for Escape Plan 2, but let me just say this. Now, I won't say Escape Plan 2, but I don't remember a lot of the reviews for Upgrade. I don't think it did that well. It was an okay movie in my book. It seemed like at times like what the fuck's going on here, and at one point it seemed like it was drawing on the mechanics of Fight Club, if some of you out see there, where it kind of had a twist at the end with it in reference to what you find out, and it also had a double twist that it had a... I know some of you out there might kid with me for watching the movie, but it had kind of a Vanilla Sky feel to it towards the end as well. And meaning that it had an aspect of what was happening was on all a dream, or did it really happen? So it came, it had that aspect of it made you talk about that ending, that either way it could happen, and allowed you to talk about it. So overall, it was a good. It didn't suck. It was all right. I'd give it maybe a 6 out of 10. And as for Escape Plan 2, I think I remember seeing that Dolph Lundgren was supposed to be in this, and I didn't see him anywhere. If he was part of the movie, I don't remember seeing him. But there was like, oh, Dolph Lundgren has teamed up with Dolph Lundgren. I got to relook. I think that they meant Dave Bautista, but he played a decent part, but the roles in regards to this movie, Stallone, as per the first one, Stallone was a big part of it. Arnold Schwarzenegger was a big part of it. In this one, not so, Stallone didn't seem that big of a part of it. Dave Bautista didn't seem that big of a part of it. It was what it was. It was a sequel. It didn't have the same oomph the first one had. And it kind of set up a third movie. And overall, I want to say, I want to say 5.5 out of 10. If you get a chance to watch it, yeah, watch it. But if it's on Netflix, you know, I know right now Lloyd's been renting a lot of movies, so he's been seeing a lot of the stuff that's coming out on DVD, because I wanted to see Escape Plan 2, he rented it for my birthday, and we got a chance to watch it, and I'm like, well, but me personally, I thanked him for renting it for me, so we could watch it together. And I said, personally, if I had a chance to see it, I would probably wait until it came out on Netflix. Both of them are great for Netflix. I wasn't excited for Upgrade at all. I was more excited for Hardcore Henry than I was for Upgrade. And I kind of liked Hardcore and Henry when it came out. I still have yet to watch it on here at home to see which is kind of better. But, and as some of you kind of know, that's that for the reviews. What else? WWE's Super Showdown, which aired at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. this past Saturday morning. What a trip. It was one of those things. I got a message from one of my friends like, oh, you're watching, you're going to be watching this Super Showdown, WWE Super Showdown. I'm like, maybe, probably later. And he's like, well, you do realize it's streaming now, right now at 5 a.m. because it's being done in Australia. I'm like, oh, God, I haven't slept all night. And I stayed up to watch this pay-per-view for 4 hours. Most of it was pretty good. We'll be probably working a couple of memes. The Cena match was okay, pretty good. Just he needed a haircut. A lot of people were saying he looked like JBL. And there were some surprises, some that were, I'm not going to spoil it for a lot of you who haven't seen it. There were some surprises, some that you foresaw the ending a mile away. AJ Lee won. I want to say this, spoilers, AJ Lee won his match. It lasted a decent while. It was a pretty good match. Daniel Bryan's and Miz's match was kind of short, but a lot of people that I was talking to him about it's like, oh, it was very short. It was very short. And I said, let me guess. The Undertaker Triple H match is next, right? And then he said, yeah. I said, well, you have about an hour to go. At least an hour more to go. You have the introductions, and they tend to put on one hell of a show. So that's why the Daniel Bryan match was short. They probably gave both people, end it quickly, end it as soon as you can, so we could get to the next match and have it last. So that's what they did. Now, the ending to it was that Triple H pretty much won. It was a very hard-fought match. And what happened was, again, Triple H won. Both wrestlers did their damnedest, and it lasted a while. They gave the fans what they wanted, one hell of a match. And at the end, there was like, it seemed like everyone broke character to give each other respect. And what I initially thought was going to be just Undertaker versus Triple H. But the Heartbreak Kid came out on Triple H's side, and what's-his-name came out on an Undertaker's side, and therefore try to get each other's back. Now, at the end, everybody held up hands, and Undertaker attacked Triple H, knocked everybody out, for the exception of his in-ring partner, but his corner's partner. So, that's that. And that's what happened, and that was the end. Like, oh my God, what happened? So, it was one of those things that if they ended on everybody kind of breaking character and just walking off to the sunset, it would have been cool. But they had to do the twist. Was it worth it? Kind of. Was it expected? It was something that felt kind of tacked on and kind of unneeded, but and that's just one fellow's opinion. And I kind of condensed all this stuff right now because I might have thought I had somebody to kind of fall back on. So I'm going to kind of end things there. I was going to do is I found a, you know what, let's see, let's hold it up to the microphone. Let's see. I was going to Skype call it in, but screw that. I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way. I'm just going to hold the phone, put it on speaker, and do it that way. Let's bring it up. What was it? Oh, wait. There it is. Somebody posted up from Infinity Wars a screenshot of Steve Rogers' number. Let's write this number down so we can type it in here. What I want to do is I am going to call this number because I can. And what I want to do is I'm going to call that number. Let's see what happens here. Let's give it with a... Let's increase the sound.
The number or code you have dialed is incorrect. Please check the number or code and try again.
Well, let's try this again, shall we? What we're getting is a number that has been disconnected. Now, when we've done calls before like this, that in regards to movies, that they have a...
The number or code you have dialed is incorrect. Please check the number or code and try again.
El número o código.
Well, as we... that was a bust. Basically, what some films do, they'll include a number, like what they did for Infinity Wars, a number that you could easily read, and people will call it, sometimes it's like a promo number, like, we hope you enjoyed this movie, please stay tuned in several months until May 15th for the next installment of this particular movie. Because this was, in essence, Steve Rogers' cell phone number, I was kind of expecting, you have reached Steve Rogers. So, like a false answering machine message saying that, hey, you reached Steve Rogers, the number for Steve Rogers. We thank you for watching Infinity War, and we hope to see you for the next installment of Avengers, which is being released on this particular date in 2019. Please stay tuned, and we hope you enjoyed the film. We're kind of expecting that, but we didn't quite get that. So, again, we hope you enjoyed this episode. And hopefully next week we'll have another panel episode. And the week after that is, let me just say this. We'll have, next week, who knows? By the end of when this episode comes out, Black Ops 4 comes out, and maybe we'll have something else to talk to you guys and gals about. So, who knows? But if not, expect another panel episode, and the week after that, we have, pretty much, Four State Comic Con will be there. More than likely, we'll be doing a panel again. So I have heard word whether or not we're going to be. There has been a prelim panel release already out, but there's been word that they'll be adding a few panels additional to that particular list, or that list is for right now subject to change. So until we get confirmed in regards to if we're doing a panel episode, we'll let you know, plus the final list for the panel episodes. So please take care. And if you want to be included in this conversation, or you have any information you want to talk about, please let us know by emailing us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Plus, you could also message us on Facebook by going to our show's page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And we also, you can also DM us on Twitter and Instagram, as well as follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Both those handles are the same, which is Long Coat Mafia. And let's see, we do have a YouTube page. We do have a video on there. We got to post the video. It's something that we could share to both Facebook and YouTube. I just got to put it up on Facebook. But for right now, it's a timed exclusive on YouTube. Just search YouTube.com for Law and Coat Mafia, and we'll come up, and we tend to post videos. I still have one video to work on. I might be waiting till the end of the month to get more footage, so I have extra padding for the footage I need to make, and that's going to be a music video. So we'll see. I might work on it this week, who knows. But until then, I'll see you guys around, guys and gals around. I'll see what else. I'm forgetting something. Oh, yes. Remember, for whatever reason, if either Google Play Music or Apple Podcasts or iTunes somehow screw up and you can't get our show, you can still get our show through the Podbean app, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And by doing so, you're able to go straight back to the beginning and listen to all how we evolved as a show. And especially listen to our older episodes. Like I said, all our older episodes. You're able to do that with the Podbean app. So the choice is yours. I know with the website, you could download and listen to us on your computer at your leisure, as well as you're able to do so with Spotify and Stitcher Radio. So we'll catch all of you sometime soon. And feel free to contact the show. Take care.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.